Mother, Mother.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Josh.
Hey, Frank.
Yes, it's Walk Fish and Frank. It's Captain Josh. There's all of us here. I mean, both of us here. I don't know about all of us.
Well, all of the two of us.
Yeah, all of the two of us. I was in the mood for something a little bit mellow this morning. Just, you know, a little Buffett in the background, you know. And,
makes me want rum for some reason.
Yeah, we need a pirate ship party bad.
Yeah, I told Barbara that this morning. We need a shindig again.
Yeah, we got to do that. I'm ready for a pirate ship party. And, yeah, I'm going to go get a bunch of air mattresses and just put them out all over the floor in the living room. We even got an elevator.
Sleep where you fall. Yeah,
we can actually haul people upstairs now.
Good deal.
All right. And let's see.
How about this lovely weather we have? So awesome.
I got to tell you, I woke up this morning and, you know, we have a fireplace so I can sit and nicotine up right in front of the fireplace. And we didn't have any of the logs upstairs. Everything was downstairs in the bunker. And I was like, I'm not going down to get it. I just a little piece of paper.
Yeah, well.
Okay, that's good.
The sad part is you needed fireplace in South Florida at the end of March. That's not cool. Well, it's cold.
It's cold. Not cool. No, it's not cool. It's downright cold.
Yeah.
If I'm burning the fireplace this time of year, it's actually pretty cold. I was kind of surprised. It was in the 40s. Ah, yes.
Hey, there's
it
my
reminds
phone.
Me. I need a little aftershave, you know. Actually, I got to sleep in. I didn't get up till like 6.
That's nice.
It was good.
Well, I was here at 6.
I chilled out in front of the, you know, sat there in front of a pretend fire.
Yeah.
I had a coffee and, well, I watched a episode of something this morning. I don't remember what it was, but I sat there and just, okay, I don't have to move yet.
Yeah.
It was really good. So.
Well, I was going to move. I moved to the shore here and then.
Then your charter canceled out. They picked the smarter of the two options.
Yeah, they had kids and they wanted to go do lunch at Cabbage Key and this and that. And
but those are a fun trip. When you got the whole family, you go out,
today's
you
not
do
a day
some
for that,
fishing,
though.
You stop the restaurant, you have a nice meal, you go back out, do some fishing, come home.
That's what they wanted, but today's not going to be a day for fun.
It would be miserable out there. And the smartest thing was to rebook it. Carl went out. And
he's crazy, though.
He's nuts. And I'll bet you he didn't even have shoes on.
I don't know if he did this morning or not. I saw him this morning.
I'm so
used to not having
socks,
shoes. So.
You know, I mean, it gets cold out, so instead of going barefoot, he comes in socks.
Yeah, we're
going
to get a collection up, get him a pair of shoes.
Yeah, I said, Carl, if I give you money, we buy a pair of shoes. Well, I'm fine. What's wrong with this? He's got socks on in the bait room.
Yeah.
The floor's wet, but yeah, it's cold, so he's wearing socks. So, anyway, but if, what's the idea? Good weather change, bad weather change?
I think this is going to hurt us a little bit.
I'm just of the opposite opinion.
Okay.
I'm actually, we need the water to stay cool.
Yeah.
We don't need it to get hot. And getting this cold front in is going to just chill that little bit of water off. It's going to cool everything
down. Yeah, it's going to get warm again real quick. So I don't think it's going to hurt us that bad.
I think it's going to help. I think it's going to chill it down a little bit, and it takes a little bit, you know, to warm it back up again.
Yeah, I think we're on that cuff of things getting real good here real soon. This may add 3 or 4 days to it, but that's okay.
The guys, everybody's talking about the night fishing right now, the sharks, the tarp, and the cobia, all that kind of stuff. It's going off the chain evening times. You get out late, you've got monster fish around.
Yeah.
So I think this chill is going to slow down that night fishing for a couple of days, but it's just going to rock the day fishing.
Yeah, it's
next week. It's going to just go by this weekend. It's going to go crazy if we get a little bit, couple degrees warmer. How long is it going to stay this cold?
Just today. It's going to warm up again, but we got more rain coming. I looked at it. I think Friday night, Saturday, Sunday is supposed to be rainy thunderstorms. But it's not really a cold front. I don't know where it's coming from. They're calling for rain, but the temperature is not going to change very much.
It's just a tropical system coming
over.
But the cool part about it is now, Kale, I said, you know, I was talking to him this morning. He was out, you know, looking at the boats and everything. And I said, why don't we just pull that T-top off and we'll jerk the back deck and throw a live well in there and you'll pick up, you know, 15 miles an hour on the boat. You know, we reduce all this weight and get the wind resistance down, you know, to pick that boat up. No. Because like yesterday in the pouring rain, he got to hang out under the T-top. He was really happy with that. Yeah. And in a little while, that sun is going to be cooking. So, and I remember at the oil spill working on the boat, man, having a T-top was just the bomb.
Yeah, I don't have one. Sometimes I wish I do, but my problem is I'm too tall for one. The T-top I'd have to have would be a monstrosity.
I don't know if you, if you could actually get under bridges with your boat. Exactly. You know, you'd be, you know, missing the I-75 overpasses by, if there was a dime on the road, you might not make it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you've got that big, beautiful hull, and, I don't know if you could get a T-top over that.
No.
Maybe we'll get you a flip-up one.
Yeah, right?
You know, when folds down and folds in half, and then, you know, and then you just fold it back up when you want it.
That's what a big umbrella is good for.
Yeah. So anyway, what about the fishing? Let's talk fishing today.
Let's talk fishing. Well, there's not going to be much fishing today, I don't think.
What's been going on?
Fishing's been getting better. Fish are still eating shrimp. The red fishing's getting good. Trout fishing's been okay, but like I said, we're on that cuff. Stuff's starting to show up. Sharks and cobia and tarpon.
Oh, there's a million tarpon in the harbor.
And I don't know if anybody noticed, if they follow me on Facebook at all, but last night my girlfriend put a picture of me laying in the front yard with a cast net. It looked like I had caught myself, but I was actually sewing holes in my net.
Fixing the holes in your net.
And that's what I've been trying to do here lately, and maybe today might be a good idea for everybody else to think about that, is getting ready for what's going to happen. You know, we're fixing to have bait, we're fixing to have tarpon, we're fixing to have cobia.
This is a good time to really start thinking. If you're going to go after the cobia and the tarpon, think about getting that half-inch, 5/8-inch mesh for those big thread fins out in the middle. Right,
the thread fins are going to show up. You're going to need a bigger net.
And bigger holes, because a quarter is never going to get a piece.
No.
A 3/8 might, but if you're really going to get hardcore about tarpon, you got to jump up to 1/2-inch, 5/8.
I throw a 5/8. Mm-hmm. I throw a 10-foot 5/8 for my thread fins.
Yeah, because
it sinks fast enough.
Once you hit that 10-12 feet of water, it's tough to get bait in a 3/8 or a quarter.
Yeah.
And if you get out there and they're in 13-14 foot, you got a 5/8, you've got your bait one and done.
Yep.
If you're throwing a 3/8, you're going to be catching three pieces at a time.
Yep.
I mean, it's a lot of money to upgrade to a 5/8 net. But
it is.
If you're going to get serious about tarpon.
Yeah, if you're going to be serious about it.
You know, what's your time worth? You're going to spend 6 hours getting bait and an hour fishing, or are you going to catch bait in half hour, an hour, and spend 6 hours fishing?
Exactly. You know, but, you know, days like today, days like this week we've had, you know, rain and wind, and now's the time to start getting ready for that stuff. You know, get your tarpon rods out. Make sure all your guides are still good. Replace your line from last year. Get your reels lubed up. You know, and that's what I've been doing. You know, this last couple of days has been nasty. I haven't been fishing, so I've been getting ready to go fishing. You know, getting ready for it. Because the last thing you want to do is that stuff, you know, tarpon to show up or cobia start showing up.
The secret to right now, if I'm going to go out and look for tarpon, I'm either going to the west side or the east side, but I'm going to look up and down both of them. It's going to be a long run, lots of fuel, but I get out in about 5-6 feet of water off the sandbar, and I don't look out across the horizon for them. I'm looking straight down in the water, looking for a dark patch, and all of a sudden you go over 20-30 feet, and it's real dark, and then it gets light again, turn around. That was just a solid pack of tarpon.
Right.
And they seem to just lay up along those sides like, it's like, okay, everybody here, all right, you know, okay.
Yeah, I think they
Charlie, are you here?
I think they have meeting, Stanley, a roll call. They have a safety meeting before they decide they're going to go out and play.
And right now they're doing that. They're up and down the bars on the east side, west side, depending which day. But,
and you're not going to, you may not see them every day. But it can be aggravating.
And the only thing is, I'm not really sure you're going to be able to catch those fish. I'm not sure they're going to eat. I'm not sure.
Sometimes
they're going
after. Sometimes they won't. You know?
But I can honestly tell you, to go out there and see hundreds, if not thousands, of tarpon just all lined up and kind of, you know, side by side, all schooled up, it's spectacular to look at. I mean, just to watch it is amazing.
Yep.
I mean, your heart's going to get racing. You're going to try to, okay, well, if I do this and I do that, it may or may not work. But to see it, priceless.
You don't know unless you go, though.
Yeah, it's priceless. Have you seen any of that? When is the drum going to start schooling up again?
I don't know. This year was really weird with black drum. I gotta say that.
I'm actually, you know, that's the one thing I'm going back out. Once I hear about it, I'm spending a few days out there.
Yeah, last year they got...
I want to try and video it this year so people can understand what I talk about. And if we're going to be doing a lot of video, we've got some really cool stuff coming up for the website. But I'm going to try and get out and video all these tarpon laying there so you can get an idea of why I'm telling you it's worth the money. It's worth the time. Not even to catch them, just to see it.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, last year, those black drum got schooled up in the harbor. That was impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
It's like
it was
nothing.
Black drum as far as you could see, you know. You get out there. I got out there first thing in the morning, a couple of mornings last year, and just watched them. They'd all start rising up, and you could just, I mean, it was insane the amount of black drum. I've never seen so many.
And when you see these 60-pound fish all boiling huge up like a school of bait.
Yeah.
And doing the baby dance, you know what I mean? It's just, I mean, you just sit back and it's just, your first thought is not even rods and reels. It's just to take it all in.
Exactly.
And then, all of a sudden, then you're getting on this, oh, my God, I can catch these fish.
I want to grab a rod now.
Yeah. Get the rods.
Exactly.
Let's get rigged.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. But I'm wanting to get back over on the east side. There's some real skinny spots. I'm building that 16-foot boat right now. And for just one person, it'd be great. I got a little 20 on it, putting a 20 on it, and very little, if any, kind of equipment. And just going to make it run as skinny as possible.
I'll be stealing that from you.
You're welcome to it anytime.
I got some fly fishing stuff that needs to be wore out.
And that little 16 is going to make a nice fly boat.
Oh, absolutely.
But I can honestly tell you, if I was going to take somebody fly fishing, I'd take the 24.
Oh, yeah. No,
I would take
the
24.
I'm going to go do some fly fishing myself.
Yeah. If you're going on your own, this is the perfect boat to go with. If you're going to take a client out, take my 24.
Yeah.
Because that thing literally... if you got 4 inches of water, it'll just drift across four inches of water. I mean, it's displacement. It's big, it's wide, and the good thing is you can get away from the guy's back cast.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So we're going to get Josh to come out to the fishing club and help us with a fly fishing night.
Yeah,
all about that'd be fun. Different fly fishing, and him and Kale will get together, and we've got the little practice rods, the TFO stuff. We're gonna be able to show you guys how to do that, and if we get some interest in that, I can get these practice rods. I'm gonna order. We're not gonna do it this month, probably the next month, and that's gonna give me time to get a few practice rods.
Yeah.
So if people want to buy one of the practice rods, and it's a lot of fun. You do it in your house, in your yard, and
you know. I was telling you this morning. You know, if somebody's serious about fly fishing. Or getting into fly fishing, that's the way to do it. You get that thing, you sit in your house, mess with your cat, you know.
Mess with the cat. Because the cats love that thing, because it's got all yarn on the end of it.
Exactly.
And that's a great way to, and if you can get the cat interested, you're going to be able to get the fish interested. Yep.
So it's a good time.
And, I did bring that piece. No, that's the other one. No, I was just... I've been going around paying bills all morning. I haven't been able to get out of the store, and I literally was driving all over town this morning, and I'm paying off all the bills and everything else that, you know, people are going, Frank, it or get that. So, anyway, I'm finally getting caught up.
Next week, you're going to have a day off.
Yeah. Well, today's my day off, and I'm going to...
Yeah, but you're here. Next week, we're going to make you a heck of a day off.
Actually, I'm taking a couple days off.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Well, me and Robert already discussed this.
Yeah, I'm taking a couple of days off.
You weren't part of it, but we pretty much decided you're not going to be here.
Days.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's actually what I told him. I said, I think we're going to fire Frank for a day, at least a day. So.
Well, I want to take some time and relax. And great way for me to relax is building those boats. I don't like messing with that stuff. So it's something I can just go and. And I got a million leaves to rake. So, you know, I'm getting tired of walking downstairs. It looks like the aftermath of the, you know, Holocaust.
Yeah.
So,
like a tree factory exploded.
Yeah, it's just bad. But back to the fishing. Right now, especially if you're going to go out in the next couple of days, shrimp's going to be the key.
Yep.
I'm going to say go back to Carl's thing. Pinch the tail off the shrimp. Put the Rockport Rattler on it. And hop that jig head with that shrimp on them.
Yep.
But just don't do it a lot. Let it set. and then every 30 seconds to a minute, just give that rod tip a nice lift and set it back down. Cooler temperatures, they're going to be keyed much more in on that bottom, that slow-moving shrimp. Yeah. It's,
especially redfish. Really critical. You know, everybody talks about white bait, you know, for redfish and this and that. I hate to tell you.
Give me a dead, stinky shrimp any day.
Well, exactly. Redfish are designed to eat on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Their mouth is made that way. God made them to eat off the bottom. They are bottom suckers.
That's why they tail. They're rubbing in the bottom.
They're one step ahead of a catfish.
Yep.
You know, and actually, they're more designed to eat on the bottom than a catfish is.
And
you know?
To be quite honest, you know, I always call them a water pig because they like to root in the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, they like to get that nose down in there and push the dirt around in the sand.
You know, and everybody talks about catching whitebait. You know, the last couple of years, we haven't had snook season. So I have not caught whitebait since we had the snook season. You know, there's no point in it to me. You know, a redfish is not going to swim by a shrimp to eat a whitebait.
No.
Is there times that redfish get tuned on the whitebait? Absolutely. Can you get them going chumming this and that? Yeah, you can do that. But he's not going to swim by a shrimp to go eat a whitebait. He's just not going to do it.
And I can tell you, take a handful of shrimp, chop them into pieces, like after your trip, throw them in a baggie.
Oh, yeah.
Good, bad, stinky, doesn't matter.
Yep.
Dice them, put them in and throw it in a Ziploc and freeze it. And then when you go back out again, you've got chum.
Yep.
And just take that handful of stuff, scatter it out, and throw shrimp in there.
I take my live shrimp and I take a bag of frozen shrimp. The frozen's my chum. I sit there and pinch them in little pieces, put them in my bat, throw it out there. I mean,
yeah.
There's no way that redfish is going to.
And just
swim
make sure you
shrimp.
Include the head and all that stuff. People don't want to think about it, but that's the liver, the brains, and that's what fish go for more. There's more vitamins. Only, you know, people like North Americans who grew up eating Wonder Bread and this that go for the meat on the, you know, the fillets and the meat. The fish are all looking for the rest of it.
Oh yeah, well it's
same as an osprey or anything.
Just like a shark or anything else.
Yeah.
Watch a shark eat. When a shark hits your tarpon. First thing he does is bites the guts out or the gills out.
Yep.
You know?
That's where all the vitamins and everything are.
So,
you know, that's where all the good stuff is. So, yeah make sure when you're getting your chum ready, you chop the shrimp up and get the tails, but make sure you get the heads in there.
Oh, yeah. I just talked to a buddy of mine down in Fort Myers yesterday afternoon. He went and got a bunch of eating shrimp from the shrimp boats down there, and he buys them whole.
Yeah.
And I told him, save me all your heads. You know?
Absolutely. That's the best
great
chum.
Great chum.
Yeah, people don't realize it, and because it's got the most smell and the most stuff and everything else that works. So when you get out there, if I was going to do it today, I would probably go pick mouth of a creek, maybe on the west side.
Yeah,
and
the mouth of the creek on the west side, even
over
the river.
In Turtle Bay, and getting a little. Find a little indentation in the mangroves, a little tiny bay.
Yep.
Take your handful of chum and scatter it right out in that. And give them a minute to get out from underneath the trees.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to be under the trees this morning because there is no water out there.
There's no water and it's cold.
And but every one of my boats is sitting on the bottom. How Carl got out this morning, I have no idea. I mean, I looked and there's slide marks on the mud. He jammed her hard and got off of there. But I don't think the other boat's moving.
Probably not.
No, that one's hard up. But so you're going to be fishing potholes. So the other thing to do is if you know where the cuts are on the east side or the west side of the harbor, find a cut in the sandbar and throw a bunch of shrimp in it. And as that water starts coming up.
Hey, you're going to have to wait on them today.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait till the water starts coming up.
Right. And you're going to have to wait on the fish to get warm. You're going to have to wait on them to find your chum. They're going to have to. So, you know, you're going to have to really work on them today.
But the thing is, I was pretty much wrong going back into those bays and stuff. Go right up on the river and hit the docks.
No, absolutely.
There's water, and doesn't matter how low the tide gets, there's still water there.
Yeah, and people make water there. You know, people have their docks dredged, their boats going in and out and make water. The last few weeks, I've been doing that quite a bit, going in the river with the wind and the crappy weather we've had.
And
staying in the river.
Today be the best day. Get up on the Peace River, the Mayaca River, find a dock with a little bit of water underneath it.
I actually almost went and did that myself today. I tried to get Andrew and Mallory to go with me, and they didn't want to go, so we didn't go. But, you know, that's been working good. You know, I fish the Peace River, but the Mayaca River is going to be the same way. You know,
right.
And you don't necessarily have to fish under the dock. A lot of people, you know, come to a dock, and they think they need to throw underneath the dock. That is true when it's hot and it's sunny.
Hey, Kale.
Howdy.
when it's hot and it's sunny and, you know, the fish are in the shade. Yeah. But on days like today, the fish are usually going to be sitting where the boat sits.
Yeah.
You know, where the deeper water is away from the dock.
Here I am, trying to be quiet, not interrupt.
It's all right. We can share a mic for a minute if you want.
I'll be in just a second.
Okay.
So that's what I've been doing.
I got two more mics ordered. The reason we've been doing one-on-one here so much is because we have to use the mics that I had for our speaking engagements and all the talks and everything that we do. And so they went with the PA and the stuff. So we got, I'm going up to the music stand in a little while here. He's supposed to have more mics and more boom stands for us so we can get more people back again.
Oh, so we can have a radio party.
Yeah, we can have radio fishing party.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll have to get some disco music. You know, at least a polka or two.
Exactly.
I got a Polish girlfriend. She looks a lot. Oh, never mind. Okay. Anyway, I know it's a Midwest in me. I just can't get past the whole polka thing, you know. But when I was young, they literally. I don't know if they still do up there. I haven't been up there in 40 years, but they used to have polka TV shows.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You don't know what you're missing there, Josh. I got to tell you. Hey. Yeah,
now,
buddy.
Now I see why they drink so much up there.
Well, there's nothing like a beer in the morning and a good polka TV show, yeah. You know? And anyway, but so the docks, going in between the docks right now might be the best thing.
Yeah. I've been fishing in between and out in front of most of the docks. And same thing, cut up little pieces of chum when you get to the dock. Sit there for a minute because you chum at this dock, you're going to pull some fish, you know, down current.
Right.
Those fish are going to come from the other docks and you're going to have a concentration of fish.
Right. You're going to have 2-3 docks right. worth of fish, you know, all trying to come up there.
Two fish on each dock going down the thing there, you're going to have 6 or 8 at your dock in a minute for chumming.
A good way to time it is take a line with a bobber on it, cast it out, leave the bail open, and see how long it takes that bobber to get down to the next dock.
Right.
And now you got an idea and add about 5-10 minutes to that. Picture if you're walking down the street and you smell somebody cooking a steak. You know, you say, boy, that smells good. But after you smell it for 5 minutes or 3 minutes, you're going to be going, boy, I'd like a steak.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but it's not your first thought. It's just your first thought. Boy, that smells good. But after a minute, you're like, you know, I could go for one of those.
And exactly.
So you got to give the, you know, an extra 5-10 minutes for the fish to smell it and then think, hey, I'm going to go over there and find out what this is about.
Right.
So,
why am I hearing a siren?
Well, we're on 41.
No. Someone's having a bad day.
Yeah, somebody's having a bad day. Happy it's not me. Sorry for you. I hope it wasn't you or your family having that bad day. But anyway, so you get out by one of the docks, throw a bunch of chopped up pieces of shrimp. It only takes 8 or 10 shrimp.
Yeah, not easy. Even.
You don't need to go through 50.
I pinch them in little pieces because...
Maybe you don't want to feed them. You
exactly.
want to entice them.
And maybe, I don't know if, you know, you can make one full, but I always think of it, well, I don't want them to get full eating my damn chum. I want them to,
exactly.
I want them to eat these little pieces and get hungry.
And, I mean, I dice them with a knife. I'm, you know, I take a knife and I just slice little 1/8-inch pieces.
Yeah.
And if you got to select, which is about 3.5-4-inch shrimp, I'm going to just dice him up, and I'm going to get 20, 30 pieces out of that one shrimp.
Yeah, get little tiny pieces. And I tend to mash them up. I grab, you know, the frozen shrimp. I just take my fingers and pinch them and mash them.
Right, mash them up.
I think mashing them gets some more sin out there, too, you know.
Yeah, I just start with the knife because I get smaller pieces out.
Right,
I take the knife and dice them, and I get smaller pieces. But by the time I'm done, they're all mashed up anyway. Just picking them up crushes it.
Right.
So anyway,
another thing that works pretty good for that is that shrimp, dry shrimp chum.
Oh, yeah.
Works pretty good. It smells like shrimp.
Yeah, that's the one.
Super shrimp.
The super shrimp chum stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been using a lot of that. I've been relying on more of the stuff, you know,
right.
the actual baits, but I can see where that worked good. If you could mix that up with a bunch of sand and get it to sink.
Right.
The problem is most of this chum doesn't sink.
Right.
And so making
that stuff, if you get it wet, it helps.
Yeah, you got to get it wet, but mix it, you know, get a little bucket of sand with you and go 50-50 with the sand and the chum, and it'll start with them both dry, then add water to them while you're mixing them together.
Yep.
You can't get them both wet and expect them to come together because you want the sand and to absorb a lot of that smell and scent. Right. So I start with them both dry, kind of mix them up in a cup, and I put a little bit of water with it or a little menhaden oil and just stir it up, and then I'll throw it out, and that helps weight it down and get it down where the fish are. But anything you can think about, what we should talk about, anything? I just, you know, Josh and I were hanging out in the store, and just, it's actually pretty busy out there.
Yeah, but, it is. I don't know where all these people are thinking are going to go fishing, but
hey. But, hey, it's a good day, but we have a, we got plenty of people out front, so Josh and I decided to come back here, hang out, and talk on the radio for a little while.
Yeah.
You got any free days coming up? You're usually pretty booked up. I didn't know if you got any free days left.
Next week I got a couple. I don't remember which ones they are, but next week I do have
a couple. So you do have a couple of days if somebody wants to get out. And one thing Josh does that I used to do is you can combine fishing and kind of a pleasure fishing day. He knows the beaches and where you can stop and get some shells or the restaurants that are only accessible by water. You can't get to them by car at all. And you can kind of mix the day up with a lot of that. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
That's what I was supposed to be doing today.
That was the only, towards the end, that's all I would do is those, you know, full day, you know, sightseeing, fishing, shelling kind of combination trips for the family.
Absolutely.
Because to me, they were the most fun. They got so excited over all the different aspects of Charlotte Harbor. Right. And it's the fishing
primary. We have a lot to see and do here, a lot more than people think. You know, with the beaches, with the birds up on the river, the birds out on the islands.
I did eco tours for a couple of years there, and it was a lot of fun.
And I enjoy doing those trips. I enjoy
to watch somebody standing next to a bird that's 3 or 4 feet tall, and literally, you know, with the correct instruction, you can get within 3 feet of this bird. You're literally eye to eye with them, and you know the bird doesn't bother because they're used to the other birds. But getting people not to move their hands, that's the hardest part, because when birds flap their wings, it means they're aggressive. And when a human puts his arms out, it's an aggressive move. If your hands are close to you, and like you hold your camera, you want to get pictures, keep it by your chest and raise it straight up in front to your eyes, click the picture and bring it straight back down. Do not extend your hands out away from your body. Do not extend your hands away. You have to speak bird. And by doing that, I mean, we were able to get people so close and never disrupt the wildlife. And to watch their faces was, it was amazing just to see, and, you know, that close to a creature, you know, half their size.
You know, and that's kind of what made me start, you know, got into the fishing guide and the hunting guiding and stuff, you know, was, you know, I've been pretty lucky my entire life. I've born and raised in Florida and spent most of my life in the Everglades, and you know, I've seen a lot, I've been able to do a lot. You know, it's to get people to care about what we do, you know, about the wildlife.
Understand while the fishing is probably the best aspect
right.
of it, there is a whole just to be
there. You know, and that's what got me started in that, I think. You know, that's the most, at least that's what I enjoy the most about it, is exposing people to what we have here. You know, these people come down and they think, you know, Florida's about Mickey Mouse and a beach and a, you know, a nightclub in Miami, but there's so much more to Florida than, you know, especially in our area, Southwest Florida here, is just, there's so much more to it, you know. Well, yeah, we have the beaches, we have that stuff if that's what you're into.
What I really like and enjoy, because I live on the river, is being able to take people out. We get into the Gulf, we do the sand white beaches and beautiful stuff, and then come up in the harbor, go through some of the islands, and then out through the middle of the harbor, skip across the barn, beyond the flats, and then take them up and run up the river and literally watch the environment change from salt water to a brackish water.
You can
water
go up the river and
fresh water.
Cypress trees and alligators and bass and bluegill, and in less than an hour be in the Gulf of Mexico with, you know, bonita and sharks and, you know.
I mean, literally, I used to film Tarzan movies up on the rivers here because they look so jungle-like.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you come down and you hit this area of sawgrass where, you know, you're going from salt to fresh areas. And it's just so cool.
And a lot of people don't ever get to see that, you know.
You're
cheating yourself if you don't go see it.
You know, and it's not cheap, you know, but to be quite honest, you become more part of the world. You actually see and understand and feel more of what's happening. And when you go to other places, you look out, and all of a sudden, you understand that when you see that sawgrass going up I-95,
you know what it is. You know why it's there. You know what it's doing.
Exactly. That's the break between the fresh and the salt areas. That's the barrier between the two.
Right.
And then to see, when you see these trees, you know it's a freshwater area. You see this, you know it's saltwater. And it's really cool.
Yeah, you know, and me personally, I try to do that. You know, I don't get to travel a whole lot, but I, you know, I go to Canada every year, and I try to go somewhere every year different and learn and look. And when I go to the places like that.
Well, if you're in Alaska, Robert and I, me, Terry, and Robert, we're definitely coming to Alaska this year. That's
awesome.
One of our goals, and I'm taking Robert this year.
There you go.
I don't care what happens. We're, you know, I know the three of us, if not more of us, are going to Alaska this year. I want to go back up on the river. I want to go out and do the halibut. And and I've never been able to get there. I've gotten so many chances to go and could not take it. I'm going this year. I don't care what happens.
But, you know, when I go to Canada, the first time I went, I wanted to see all that kind of stuff up there. You know, I ask a lot of questions, and people probably thought I was crazy, but you know, I want to know why this was like that. How come this is like that? You know, why does the wildlife do this? What, you know?
Yeah, I grew up so close there. I've been to Canada a few times, and that was.
But it helps me
many, many years ago. But
and especially me as a hunter, you know, as an outdoorsman.
And even being in here, how many times we get people that say, well, I'm flying up to Canada, and we've got to outfit them for northern pike and, you know, all these fish and the walleye and everything, you know, and to understand how the fish eat. And
You know, and that was my biggest thing, you know, because I go to Canada and hunt up there. You know, an outdoorsman and a hunter, the more you understand, the better it makes you. You know, if you understand, like fishing here, if you understand why a fish is going to do that, well, you know.
You're going to catch more fish.
Exactly. You know, rather than, it's not just dumb luck. A lot of this isn't. You know, there's a little bit of science behind it, you know.
Well, I've been to countries where you're not allowed to fish as a child. You cannot, in one country, it's completely illegal for anyone under 12 to fish.
Wow.
Then they have to go to school and learn how the fish breed, reproduce, do all that. They have to pass a whole course on that. And then, like, catch and release fishing is illegal, and this is illegal, and that's illegal.
Right.
People, because of North America, the U.S. and Canada, we're all kind of in that same mindset. We think that's what the world's like, but several of the countries I've been in, the laws are so totally radically different than what you have here. And by being lucky enough to have sold tackle all over the world, well, half the world, I was exposed to a lot more ideas, and I think it makes me better.
Right. Absolutely. You know, but like I said, people are cheating themselves if they don't go experience that kind of stuff. You know, if you want to be good at fishing here,
one of the problems is, though, is people, they want life to be like MTV, where, you know, it's got to be an explosion, a ride down a roller coaster.
And
going up a river sometimes, people don't really understand how cool it is.
Right. And I shouldn't say the whole world, but the United States is very bad about instant gratification. Everybody wants instant gratification. Well, I go fishing today. I ought to catch fish today. I ought to catch the biggest fish today. You know, that's not how it works.
Some days.
Some days
it
does.
If they go with you, they've got a good shot at that.
Right, but.
And I'm going to tell you that, you know, it's the reason people hire guys like you.
Right.
Because they've got 3 to 5 days to do it.
Right.
And they can only. And
exactly.
So
that's a cheating shortcut. Absolutely, it is.
But it's the reason for it, because when I go to another place, I don't expect to be able to go there and catch a lot of fish.
No, absolutely.
But when I hire a captain, I'm looking for. And I want that instant gratification. I want to hire the captain to get out and give me that good experience.
If you're only there for a week, if you're only here for a week, whatever the case is, absolutely. But if you want to learn.
If you're moving here, you need to get the whole package.
Get out and do it. You have to.
But the good thing about hiring captains who are aware of all this is you get that whole extra aspect of it, for as far as you get to be part of the nature of doing it, and then also get that big fish experience.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry I have to tell you this, Josh. You know, I'm sorry I'm correcting you about what you do, but to me, one of the reasons we promote you as a captain, and Kale just sat down, and Kale, is that you guys are good about giving people more of that broad spectrum experience where, you know, here goes something happens and you're showing the people more than the fishing.
Absolutely. Know. Well, and Robert and I had a conversation about that this morning. You know, being a fishing guide, there's so much more to, in my opinion, there's so much more to being a good fishing guide than being a good fisherman.
Well, I would take people sometimes, a couple of years ago we had a problem and the fish weren't eating shrimp very well. You had to get bait fish, but it was like an hour run to where you could actually get some.
Right.
And I would take my customers, and a lot of times I'd be doing the rodeo thing to find them, and I would have them running the boat, but I would be very specific. And they're like, really? You got to do it? I said, well, this is where they live. We're invading their home, and our job is not to do any damage to their home.
Right.
Otherwise, we don't have any.
Right.
And one of the things about a real professional captain is kind of like a doctor, do no harm. You know,
well, absolutely.
Try to make sure that, you know, if you're catching bait in an area, that area stays nice and good so it still holds bait.
Right. Well, and yeah, we can we could touch on that kind of stuff for an hour here. You know.
Hey, Kale.
Howdy. How's everybody doing today?
We're good.
We're good. We're getting philosophical here. This is not good.
We're solving world problems.
I'm out.
Kale's out. So you actually had intelligent clients again today, and they canceled.
Well, we didn't cancel, but we did move it to tonight. It's pretty much two choices. We could go out there and bounce around in 25-mile-an-hour winds and catch every rat red in the harbor, or we can wait till tonight, let the winds die down, and fish the bridges and the dock lights and some of the piers for tarpon, snook, and cobia.
So what you did was take the better part of valor and say, okay, you give the guy the choice of evening and stuff. Josh didn't have that because they wanted to do the beach and the restaurant experience. So he had to push to another day. That's got to be tough when you're booked up.
It's very tough.
Pushing to the next day.
This whole week has killed me because of that. I'm running out of places to put people.
Yeah, yeah. I got the same thing. I mean, but I talked my guys yesterday into sticking it through the wind and the rain. The rain was the hard one yesterday. And
loving that T-top, aren't you?
Yeah, I was. But it was raining and blowing so hard that it didn't matter. It was coming in underneath the T-top. But the first mistake I made is we went out of their canal and went up another canal to fish. They were literally 5 minutes from their house. And when they're 5 minutes from their house and they start getting a little bit of wet, they're ready to call it a day. So you should take them 10 miles away from their house and they're more apt to stick it out. But this guy did that. They stuck it out anyways. We put together a pretty good trip. So it was worth it because it dried out and it got sunny and nice yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon was really, actually really nice. I mean, I know because all of a sudden I went from catching up my bookwork and paperwork to running my butt off on the floor. And but anyway, so I'm going to let you guys figure out if somebody's going to go out. It's a little late today, but let's say somebody's going out tomorrow. What's the game plan? Where are you guys going to tell them to go and have some fun fishing?
I'd tell them go find a creek mouth. Go find a little bit deeper water, the docks like you and I were talking about, Frank. You know, throw some shrimp. You're going to have to wait on them still. It's not going to be super warm tomorrow. It's going to start warming up. I think tomorrow as the day goes on, it may get better. But you just have to, well, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to wait on them.
I'm completely with Josh. Creek mouths, drainage ditches, anything like that. These snook should be livened right up after all this rain. I would probably wouldn't hesitate to run up to Shell Creek Dam. The water was coming over.
That's a good point.
Real slow last week. It should be.
Oh, it now should be coming over good. Pretty good now.
Should be lots of fish up there, livened up.
Okay, now I'm gonna add that because the point's exactly correct. Josh perked right up Shell Creek Dam. That's going to be loaded with snook. There'll be tarpon up there. It's going to be a great experience. Same thing if you just want to drive your car up 41.
The spillway.
Come down to Fish and Frank's. Go north on 41. Turn in at Bob Evans. And go along that. And you're going to see the bridges. And you'll see the dams there. and take something, the Storm 3-inch to 4-inch paddle tails, pre-rigged,
yep.
And they're cheap. They're like $350, I think, $340 something for a pack of three. And just take those little shads up there, or the Storm Killer Twitch, whatever the heck that thing is. Yeah. I can never remember the name of it. My best-selling lure, and I can't remember the name of it. But that, a 14-15 bomber, and get up by the spillways,
yeah.
Try and get white. White's going to be the color.
This is something that we haven't... We haven't got to do this yet because we haven't had the rain, but I think this rain here is going to make it...
The spillways are going to turn on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the Shell Creek Dam, any of the dams, any of the spillways, and if you were listening and you're going down Burnstore Road, they got dams there in Burnstore. They're going to be just loaded with fish. Are.
Yeah, down toward you get in the Northwest Cape there.
Yeah, if you're into the Cape and come back up Burnstore, there's some nice dams along Burnstore Road there that just... Going to have some spectacular fishing on them with this rain.
And up the river, not dams up the river, but all these little creeks, these little finger creeks are going to be flowing now. All those cow pastures are going to be draining out. You know, I'm talking up the river, right. You know, north of 761 up there is going to be, those creeks are going to be, the snook are going to go to the mouth of those creeks. Snook and bass both are going to be there.
Yeah, and they're going to be flowing. We got a lot of rain. Monday it rained all day. Yesterday was a pretty good gully washer. We were standing in water in the boat because the bilge pump couldn't keep up with it. So we got a good amount of rain.
Yeah. That's going to be a game changer. I didn't even think about that until he said that.
All right. Well, any last thoughts?
Like you said, white and purple. Fishing these freshwater, brackish-ish type deals. That white and purple, white with a purple top, seems to be working well upriver, especially Shell Creek.
Okay, any last thoughts, Josh?
No, I'd have to agree with that. That dark water white seems to work, and the dark colors also seem to work. The purple seem to work.
Yeah, you know? White and chartreuse, white and purple, some white belly with something on the top, and you're going to catch some fish. You're going to have a real good time. A great shot to get your first tarpon if you haven't caught a tarpon.
Yeah.
Won't be a monster, but it will be a tarpon.
The little ones are more fun, I think, anyways.
Yeah, they don't beat you to death. Exactly. This is, okay, I got my tarpon, and I don't have I didn't rupture a disc, and I didn't pull my arm, and I... So, anyway, let's see. I guess it's been kind of a mild show, so I guess we'll just do this to get us out of it.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to go drink rum.
I didn't know we were doing the show in an elevator.
Yes. That's why we're so close in here.
Yes. This is about the size of an elevator. But anyway, guys. And it kind of fits with our theme. You've seen it all. You get to go out, see it all, experience it all. Become more a little more part of the world, and just enjoy everything out there. This is Fish and Frank. We got Captain Kale in the middle chair, Captain Josh, the XXL Charters, XXL Sport Fishing.
There you go.
That's right. I'm almost screwed it up. XXL Sport Fishing and the Bad Fish Charter guys. So, Fish and Frank, and we're going to see you guys on the next Radio Fish. And thanks for hanging in there with us. Oh, we got some cool new stuff coming on the website. Oh, my God. You're going to like this. It is going to be really cool. We're redoing the website. The main part's going to kind of stay the same because I'm too lazy to change it all, but we've got some added features you guys are going to go nuts over. So, anyway, watch for that coming soon. Fish and Frank, see you later.